and was performed there on vinyl, nonetheless, by my guests on the programme this evening, the Waltons from the Isle of Wight. Welcome, gentlemen.
Hello, hello.
Let's say good hello evening. To you individually. First of all, it's Sean. Hi there.
Hello.
Tony.
Hello, Gethin.
And Dave.
Hi.
Now, instant claim to fame as far as the Waltons are concerned was a television series which was filmed a couple of years ago now called Annika, filmed on the Isle of Wight. And yeah. You featured in that particular television programme, didn't you?
Yeah, it was an accident, really. Our drummer was working for someone who met the advance part of the film crew that were looking for locations for filming, and he ended up driving them around, and the guy dropped that he wanted a band for a disco scene. So that was how we got in, really.
Mm, well, that was more than lucky then, wasn't it, eh?
Yeah.
Did you enjoy the experience, Tony?
Yeah, it was great. I mean, we didn't do a great deal in the way of filming. We were there, what, 4 days?
Yeah.
We spent most of the time sitting around. And
yeah. Where was it actually filmed, your sequence?
In the Prince Consort at Ryde.
Mm.
Now defunct.
Our home from home.
Of course, you used to play there on a regular basis, did you not?
We used to play there twice a week for months and months and months.
So, strong following as a result of that, was it?
At that time, yeah.
It was only because nobody had to pay to
hard to understand. Yeah, that's probably what it is. Hard to understand why, because we were really musically terrible at that time. That was before Sean joined us.
Sean, you do what in the band?
I play keyboards.
Yeah. So you add the refined touches, do you now?
Yeah.
Refined touches.
Tell us a little bit about the other guys in the band, because there's three of you here. How many of you are there all together?
Well, there are five. Basically, there are five, aren't they?
Full-time.
Full-time. We have a drummer called Damon. He's just called Damon.
Hello, Damon.
He's miserable. He's always miserable.
Yeah, he never laughs.
No.
When we go out and have photos taken of us, if Damon's smiling, then we can't use the photographs. He's like that. It's a hangover from, you know, the end of the 70s.
But drummers are like that. Drummers are very temperamental people.
Who does the most of the writing in the band? Is it a combined effort or anybody in particular?
Well, I do most of the writing. But putting the songs together is really a combined effort.
Yeah, it's more a fascist dictatorship than a...
If they don't do it how I like it, there's trouble.
Going back to the filming of Annika, I mean, how much time, well, how long did you feature in the film once it had been sort of cut down?
Probably about 7 minutes, I think.
Which is quite a long time, isn't it, really?
Well, I don't know, I mean...
In terms
of
film.
First time we've ever done it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about how the whole thing was set up. I mean, did you have to just play the same number... Time and time again, or what?
We went in there the first morning and recorded about 8 numbers, just live, on the stage, actually on the set. And then we had to leave all the gear where it was for the next 4 days. And every time they wanted us, they'll, you know, shout, "Band!" in Swedish accents, which I can't do. And we'd just have to appear and stand around miming to the tracks we'd already recorded.
I mean, quite a lot of the time they were just taking scenes where they only saw our feet, you know, in the background.
Well, I remember very distinctly your head, Dave, sort of sweating across, because it was at that time it was shaved, was it not?
It was, yeah. It's winter now. I'll shave it off in the spring.
You do, do you?
Yeah, it's my winter coat. Because if I shave it off, if I let it grow in the summer and then shave it off, I get this white wig sort of thing all the way around me where it's not sunburned.
Were you perhaps a little bit disappointed that you weren't sort of snapped up by a major record company having featured in that television series?
Yeah, I was shattered.
No, I'm not as naive as Sean.
Did you expect anything to happen, though, as a result of
leaving the band?
Thank God for that.
I mean, we were sort of hopeful, but, I mean, we've been sitting around on the Isle of Wight now for 2.5 years, waiting for something to happen. And the one thing we got very good at is waiting. We're experts.
Yeah, we've become very patient men.
Funnily enough, last week they featured at Rod Gammon's studio much of the programme, and one of the things I asked Rod was, aren't you really sort of tying your hands behind your back? If you're seriously hoping to get a band away, is it not sort of a difficult place to start things off on the Isle of Wight?
Definitely.
It is.
It's a matter of money getting off. I mean, we haven't even got a van. We're Barassic. Send all contributions too.
Yeah. But you have a loyal following on the Isle of Wight, don't you?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah,
well, we like to think we do.
They both live around the corner. Sean's mum.
We haven't mentioned Pete. We have a guitarist called Pete.
Oh, yeah, we forgot that.
He doesn't speak.
He was the one that was wearing the tutu in the...
In Annika.
Oh, I know, I remember, yes.
Yeah.
So are you, I don't know, extraordinarily ambitious, or are you just trying to be realistic on the Isle of Wight?
I think if we were extraordinarily extraordinary.
Very, very ambitious.
Yeah, very ambitious. The band wouldn't work musically. I mean, we desperately need somebody else to do all the business side of it. Because the only reason we work together is because, you know, we're so...
Laid back, man.
Laid back. That's the word I was looking for. Or mellow, as I'm going to say.
Yeah.
But you're very humorous as well, as we shall hear.
Yeah.
From the single. I mean, Brown Rice is a very funny record, I think.
That's jolly nice of you to say so.
Well, I, when I say funny, I mean humorous.
It's a strip cartoon, is what it is.
Yeah, what gave you the idea for that then?
I don't know.
Did it just come out of sort of nowhere?
It was... At the time I wrote it was what was happening. There was a big kickback against sort of a lot of...
Processed foods and things like that.
Accepted norms.
Mm. In fact,
and to me, it seems out of date now. I mean, it's taken so long to get the record out.
Mm.
And, I mean, I wrote it, 3 years ago. So, I mean, I can't...
So you've
moved on.
...objective
about the record at all, even. Yeah. It's been around for so long.
So, I'm sorry, but I've got to say madness to a certain extent, because it sounds a little bit
said
like
before.
Madness.
Yeah.
But still individual, though. I mean, not like they would do.
I think that's more down to the production than our actual sound, because when we do it live, I mean, it has a... Normally has about a 15-minute keyboard solo in the middle of it, you know, and anything can happen because it's the last number, and you know.
They're much more rock and roll in life, much raunchier.
Yeah. So the material has shifted since you actually made that then.
Well, we do a great variety of material. That's the thing. We don't have a style. I mean, I think we have a sound that is reasonably recognisable now. But we do. I mean, our styles of music are so varied.
Yeah.
And when people say, what kind of music do you play, it's impossible to say.
Which is a good thing, isn't it?
I suppose so, yeah.
Keeps...
I don't know, a lot of people prefer things to be pigeonholed a lot of the time.
Yeah, but
if
somebody...
They like to be able to say, well, this is this kind of music and this is that kind of music.
If somebody came up to us and said, you know, what kind of music do you play, and we said, pre-Raphaelite contemporary rock, man, they'll probably be a lot more impressed and, you know, willing to sign us up if they could pigeonhole it.
So it's not only the media that want to pigeonhole you, it's people in general, isn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Odd.
We're just persecuted, man.
Well, you did get a deal with Excalibur Records, which, although it's not a major, it's a well-known record label. How did that come about?
That was through our manager, really.
Yeah.
He sorted that out. By that time, it got to a stage where we had somebody to go and, you know, do all that. And we really didn't have much to do with the actual process of getting the contract. Funny thing was, though, when... The head of the label came down to see us. We were playing at a gig. Which one was it?
It was Feet on the Street.
Feet on the Street gig that was launching the Isle of Wight album. And it has got to be the worst gig we have ever played in our lives. It was appalling. Save for one other one we did at an under-16s disco. We started off with 500 people and ended up with 4.
That must have gone down very well,
yeah.
We have a history of absolutely atrocious gigs on the Isle of Wight.
That's one thing we're very good at.
We really know how to pick the gigs.
But you got signed.
We did, yeah. You seem quite impressed that we could be so awful.
And people still like it.
Yeah.
So you play elsewhere other than on the Isle of Wight, do you?
Yeah, we had a really good one at the Garlic Festival, didn't we? They had a garlic festival.
It is on the Isle of Wight.
I know it's on the Isle of Wight.
New Church is like America to us.
And this was typical of our gigs. We got there and all the other bands had played and we were going to be headlining and the generators broke down. We never played at all. It happens all the time to us.
It does, it's true.
And what about the Isle of Wight, the legendary Isle of Wight Song Festival, which took place not too many weeks ago? You played there, didn't you?
We did, yeah.
That was actually quite a good gig, on the whole. But we weren't too pleased with the South African connection, which we found out about afterwards.
Yeah, what was all that about then?
Well, we appeared at the SeaLink Isle of Wight International Song Festival, and... We later found out that it had been sponsored by South African Airways, which is something that nobody in the band would agree with, that we were all very anti-apartheid. And we've sent a statement to the local press saying that we, the Waltons, along with the other island competitors who took part in the Song Festival, dissociate ourselves from the Isle of Wight Song Festival, and we took part in good faith, without prior knowledge of the South African connection. And the Waltons personally have instructed their management to forward any fees due to them for their appearance to the anti-apartheid movement in London.
I think you're even going to organise a benefit gig, aren't you?
That's right, yeah. Hopefully mid-November. The venue is yet to be arranged. After the statement goes into the press, I'm hoping I'll get a few phone calls and offers of decent venues. Perhaps the Medina Borough Council would like to offer something.
And another gig that is firm is on November the 2nd. What's that one?
That's right. That's Sandown Pavilion. This is a famine aid gig. It goes on all day. You'll have to look in the press for the bands, because there must be 18, 20 bands playing that day. Starts in the morning till midnight.
So it's November the 2nd at Sandown Pavilion.
Sandown Pavilion. It's the Isle of Wight Live Aid.
Excellent. Thank you very much for coming in, and thanks for making the effort to come over to the mainland. Very decent of you and all.
Our pleasure, Kevin.
And let's hear the extended mix, the A-side of your current single on Excalibur Records. This is the excellent Brown Rice by the Waltons.